we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to our radio listening family. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Jesus teaches that from your relationship with God, there flows a relationship with the hurting people of the world. I'd like to visit with you about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that on this Sunday we may enter into your holy presence and to hear once again of your redemptive love for us. We thank you, Lord, that even though we are not worthy of it, you have reached down in your grace to bestow upon us the forgiveness of our sins and to tell us once more that you love us. Grant, O God, as we hear the hurting people of the world this day, we may reach out to them because you love them too, and you come to them through your church. So forgive us where we have not loved as we should have done, and grant, O God, that we may hear from your word once more this day the challenge to love those for whom you also died. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side too. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor of the man who fell into the hand of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away.
Friends in Christ, the libraries are full of books which tell the life story of Christian leaders who have had a great influence on millions of people. Such an example in our day would be Dr. Billy Graham. In the past, it might have been Dwight L. Moody, Fulton Sheen, Oswald Hoffman, and a host of others. I have just finished reading a book entitled Profiles of Faith. It is written by C. Bernard Ruffin. Many of these people discussed in the book might have considered themselves Christians, but would not have qualified to be classified a Christian according to biblical standards. However, these people shaped the lives of others because of their prominence in places of leadership in the culture of our country. It is also possible that they had some influence on people's religious life, which contributes to the culture of the world. Permit me to mention a few of these people. The one that struck my mind right away in my eye was the person Henry David Thoreau. He lived in Concord, Massachusetts from 1817 to 1861. He is often thought of in our day as a naturalist and a philosopher, and his best-known work is entitled Walden. One day, Thoreau was severely chastised by his Aunt Louisa for not being in church on a Sunday morning. So happened that when Louisa was coming from worship, she met her friend out in the woods carrying a pine sapling, which he planned to plant in his front yard. When his aunt criticized him, he replied, "Aunt Louisa, I have been worshiping in my way, and I don't trouble you in your way." Now, this sentiment expressed Thoreau's feelings about religion. He revered Jesus. He called him the Prince of the Reformers and Radicals and a brother of mankind. I think that a study of Thoreau would show that he had great interest in Jesus' ethical teachings, but cared nothing about the message of salvation. He would take a part of the Christian message, and that was all. He was interested in a part of the story. And I think he is quite typical in our day. Let's go on to another. Franklin Delano Roosevelt came from New York, President of the United States, lived from 1882 to 1945. Roosevelt is considered one of America's most influential presidents and a leader who seemed to have much concern for the common man. Such legislation as Social Security and government aid programs for the poor had great influence on our country. Roosevelt would have considered himself a Christian, but St. Paul might have had some other questions about this. When his wife Eleanor asked Franklin about the religious instruction of their children, he replied, "They should go to church, and they should learn what I learned." But Roosevelt had no interest in theology and would not discuss some of the great doctrinal teachings of the Christian faith. You can be sure he had not spent a lot of time on this message of being born again. That was not his kind of Christianity, as if there were other kinds of Christianity. His wife described her husband as a religious man. Now notice, he enjoyed reading the 23rd Psalm, the Sermon on the Mount, and the Golden Rule. But he was not a student of St. Paul's letter to the Romans that deals with the nature of the human being and the redemption which is ours in Jesus Christ. The moral teaching of the Christian faith was the most important part of the Bible for President Roosevelt. Briefly, one more. I refer to General Douglas MacArthur. He lived from 1880 to 1964, and we remember him as a commander-in-chief in the Pacific. Ruffin says of General MacArthur, "He never went to church. Nevertheless, he considered himself a religious man. He believed in the existence of God, who controlled human affairs, and now note, in the moral and ethical teachings of Jesus." And that's about as far as you could get anything from the book on General MacArthur. Now, these are three examples of individuals, typical of people who are often referred to as Christian people, because there is something in their speech or behavior that makes reference to God. How would they view the Bible? Would this type of person be a strong witness for Jesus as Savior and Lord of the world? I think we would probably have to say no. No, that would not be their interest at all. Some such as Thoreau would deny this teaching, while others would have no comment. To them, it would be unimportant. However, a text like the Good Samaritan, which is ours today, would catch their attention. What is lacking in much understanding of Christianity today is an emphasis on both faith and life, what we believe and how we live. If we place all the emphasis on Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection for our sins, and we never talk about the fruit of our faith, then we have only taken a part of the story. On the other hand, If we talk only about the kind of life that Jesus taught and place little or no emphasis on our salvation, there is no power to live the Christian life. Jesus is no more than another moralist, and we have little relationship with our Heavenly Father. A part of the Christian message is never adequate. There must be both law and gospel. There must be both faith and life. There must be that great desire to center our thoughts in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and what He has commanded us to do out of love for Him. One day, a young person came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What's written in the law? You're a master of it." The man replied, "You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "You do this, and you'll live." Now, Jesus was not here teaching a work righteousness, but what Jesus was saying is, if you could live that way, then there would be no sin, and if there were no sin, then you wouldn't need a Savior. But every person is a sinner, and therefore he needs a Savior. But he doesn't get into that subject right now. He takes the man where he is. The man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus told this marvelous parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan, perhaps known by as many people who know anything about the Bible at all as any part of Scripture. There was a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him. They took all of his possession and left him beside the road badly hurt. It wasn't long before a priest walked by but did not assist this hurting man. Later, a Levite walked by and did not lend a hand to help him either. But then there was a Samaritan appeared. And when he saw this poor fellow, the Samaritan bandaged up his wounds, put on some wine and oil, and brought the man to the inn and there took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 coins and said, "Use this to help him, and if that is not enough, when I return, I will reimburse whatever else is needed." And then Jesus asked a question using this verbal picture, "Which of these men proved to be the neighbor?" And the man replied, "Well, the innkeeper, of course." And he said, "You go and do likewise." Now, in this story, Jesus brings a message to his church. He is telling us that from our relationship with Him, there flows a relationship to help others in need. There are many lessons for Christians to learn from this classic story. Here are just a few of them. 1, these people lying by the side of the road include all hurting people. They may be young, but they may be old. They may be the unwed mother who is trying to make it, but it may also be her great-grandmother who is also trying to make it, not only monetarily, but she's lonesome. There is no one who comes to see her. Most of her peers have died. She is a person by the side of the road. There are the poor. There are the rich. The rich who have everything that money will buy them, but still have no peace at all. There are the sick who lie on their beds of pain on this very day. They need us by their side to comfort us, but there are also the well who really are needing help. There is a male and there is a female. There is the educated and there is the uneducated. There is a black and there is a white. Any person who is close to us is our neighbor. And what our Lord Jesus is saying, reach out to help that person. We are compelled by the love of God to help them, regardless now of whether or not they are responsible for the situation in which they find themselves today. You know, sometimes I find myself saying, well, I don't know how much we have to help them. After all, didn't they make their own bed? Don't they have to lie in it? If they have lived this way, does it mean that I then have to reach out and help? And evidently what we get from the Word of God, and that's after all where we need to go, is that don't stop and think about how they got where they are. They're there now. Minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. We're also told in this marvelous text, we move beyond feeling sorry for them to helping them. You see, the priest and the Levite might have pitied the wounded man, but they did not help him. Pity was not enough. How often and how easy it is for us to say, oh, I feel so sorry for the individual, if there was only something that I could do. And more often than not, there is something that we can do. It is rather sad when a person who confesses no faith in Christ is more charitable to hurting people than those who confess Christ every day of their lives. It is also sad when people consider themselves Christians because they have helped those in need. Well, I did a good Christian act today, and therefore I certainly am a Christian, but perhaps the person does not believe in the Lord Jesus at all. That's wrong. On the other hand, here's a person who can give his testimony of how Christ came into his life, but he never stops to help another person. He lives right within the confines of his own family and his own group, and they're really the only ones that count. But that is not all the case. Today I am extremely thrilled and thankful in what I see going on in many parts of our world. I think that we see here that the Holy Spirit has been at work. Now that doesn't mean that he does not have a lot more to do with us, but we do have marvelous examples of believers reaching out to others and trying to help them, first in their relationship with the Lord Jesus, and then with where they are. Many of our young people are spending vacation times helping people in poverty-stricken areas of this land of ours. I'm just thrilled to see that when spring break comes and these young people could be off to enjoy themselves in some recreation, they choose to get on a bus with many other young people from their church or their neighborhood and go to parts of this United States where help is really needed. The youth in our church have done that for years and years and years, and they are just one of thousands of young people groups who are going around to the inner city, to the poverty-stricken areas, just to plain help. The love of Jesus Christ has touched their lives. I am thrilled, for example, to see many of our people, not simply because of the moralism, but because of their relationship with the Lord, spending time in Habitat for Humanity. I walk through our home for the aged, and I think of those people who built that home in order that the elderly might have a place to live in dignity during the last years of their lives. Many of them were built by Christian people, these homes for the aged, many who are very anxious to see to it that their fathers and their mothers and their grandmas and grandpas could not only receive good bodily care until they breathed their last, but could be surrounded with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One high school student I know of has a handicapped person who he helps in school on a daily basis. Thank God for a young person like that. True Christianity consists of trusting and walking with Christ. It reminds me of the song we used to sing. Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one without the other. You can't have faith without love. A love for other people. Amen. Father, we pray that this age-old story may continue to live in our hearts and our minds, and that we may truly use this part of your word to ask ourselves the question, have we really reached out to that person who is hurting by the side of the road? Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message brought you comfort and joy. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Some of you are members of our GEM Club. GEM stands for Gift Every Month, and members send a gift each month. No matter the size of the gift, this faithful, regular giving provides Christian Crusaders with a steady income to pay monthly radio bills. We warmly thank each of our GEM donors. You are truly jewels in this important ministry. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. We now have a daily scripture verse and reading linked to a devotional. Spend a few quiet moments each day with God's Word at your computer. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.